Walker, president of Capstone Marketing. I am thrilled to be talking today with my friend Eric Myzhak, shareholder and who was the chief marketing officer for Beach Fleischmann PC. We've got some news about that. Beach Fleischmann is one of Arizona's largest locally owned CPA firms and a top 200 CPA firm in the United States. At the recent Association for Accounting Marketing Summit, Eric was inducted into the AIM Hall of Fame. Now, this is not my first Capstone conversation with Eric because in 2015, I believe it was, Eric was named AIM's Marketer of the Year. So we're going to take a look back at some of his responses from a few years ago and see how they may have changed or maybe a different perspective now that it's 2018. But before we do that, Eric just shared some exciting news that he is now the Chief Strategy Officer at Beach Fleischmann. So, Eric, first, congratulations on the Hall of Fame, and we're excited to hear about this new role.
Thank you. Thanks for the intro. I'm excited, too, and it's something brand new for me, something that I think, in a way, I had been working towards this for a while, but it's really going to have me focused on strategy formulation and execution and accountability in driving our firm's mission and vision and strategic plan initiatives. And, you know, marketing, as a marketing person, I was always involved in that in some way, shape, or form. And now I'm really, broadening my horizons here and getting involved in these other areas. So it is going to be all things strategy. Reviewing our key strategic priorities and driving decision making that aligns with those goals and monitoring and measuring our progress. But I think most importantly, what I'm really excited about is the, to drive innovation and change at our firm, because we all know what's, happening with the profession and the disruption that's occurring right now and that's going to continue to accelerate. So that's going to be my role, is to really keep my eye out on that and making sure that we're going to be sustainable long-term as a firm.
Right. Do you know, I presented a webinar yesterday, an AIM High webinar, about the Career and Compensation Survey, and one of the issues I talked about was how each marketer is vested in their own career path, that no one is going to be more interested in creating their career path than them. And I think you've taken that to a new level.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think that's really important. And I've always said to fellow marketers or marketers who are new in the industry and have told them, don't wait for an invitation. Don't wait for the invitation to step up or to take that leadership role. Take it or ask for it. And you would be surprised how many firms would be willing to accept that. And because you can never have too much leadership within a firm, right? And and so I just think, and it's sometimes hard to do, and it makes folks uncomfortable to do that proactively, but I really think it's important to do, and I think people respect it.
Right. I couldn't agree more. Now, it's interesting because you've already mentioned this word, innovation and innovating firms, because when we spoke back in 2015 about the greatest challenge in marketing a CPA firm, your response revolved around continuing to push to innovate firms about new services and product offerings. Do you still think that's the greatest challenge?
I really do, because I still think that we are, I think we're charged now with keeping firms relevant in the future, because if you recall that AICPA, what was it, the CPA Horizons 2025 report that came out years ago, really forecasted what the profession was going to look like, and that was a huge, industry-wide survey, and it essentially said that firms are not going to resemble anything, that they look like now, and the idea of core services is almost ridiculous, that we're going to be so diversified and integrated with the offerings that we're going to have, that that's the key to the future, and that's what clients are going to expect. So that's, I feel, is still the biggest challenge, is that innovation and drive to make sure that we are relevant to clients and providing value in other areas beyond those traditional services.
Right, because it's all that we're reading about, artificial intelligence and blockchain and audits being done by robots and the true importance that CPAs be able to be advisors. And I know we've talked a lot about that, and there are a lot of accountants out there who think they're fabulous advisors, but they may not be, or it may not be the level that they really need to operate, because a lot of what accountants traditionally do is going to be done differently.
Yeah, it's certainly true. And I think, you know, it's hard to be an advisor and a trusted one at that if you're not fluent in conversations and in areas beyond, you know, the traditional accounting area, because how can you have a discussion with a client about helping them grow without having some base knowledge of technology or some base knowledge of human capital or some base knowledge of growth and innovation? You know, it's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of firms are limiting themselves by only staying, you know, traditional firms. And I think we're at risk if we don't realize this and make an effort to innovate and to do these things that we just talked about.
Right. I wonder what that will do to this merger and acquisition frenzy for the firms that, you know, are not recognizing the changes that they need to make.
Yeah, the changes. I mean, I think the number one thing is the, you know, the business model has to change, because if you're dealing with technology or you're dealing with marketing or growth or risk, those are models that are not going to be based on what we have been doing as an industry for the past 100 years, which is based on a time model. And with technology emerging that is now, you know, creating all these enormous efficiencies and displacing traditional man hours on projects to, it's now automated or it's done through artificial intelligence, how are firms going to survive if they are basing the way they run their business on time and hourly billing? So
mm-hmm.
I think that has to happen first. And then it would just be easier then to adopt these other practice areas, because, you know, it's not done by hourly billing in many cases, and that is not the future of the profession.
Right. Right. We certainly are in interesting times here, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, these next, you know, 5 years coming up, we really have to be on top of our game here with these industry changes.
I agree. And everything that you read, every conference you go to, and really the dialogue in the profession is just dominated by this. You cannot escape it.
Right.
It's on everybody's radar.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, my advice yesterday to the folks on the webinar was, you know, read everything you can get your hands on so that we all have, you know, a clear understanding of what this means, and then the role that marketers can play within their firms to encourage and execute or deal with these changes so that their firms remain relevant.
Yeah, I think, you know, years ago there were, you know, a few voices in the profession that were talking about this, and there were maybe some minority voices within firms that were talking about the need to change, you know, the business model. There's validation everywhere now. And so
mm-hmm.
I do think it's the time, you know, where people can reach out outside of their firms and bring people in, whether it's consultants or thought leaders. They can have their ideas validated, and it makes it much easier than to change that way.
Right. So when we spoke last about the biggest change you noticed in accounting marketing, you talked about the importance of content marketing and using the web and digital tools to syndicate content. Is that still the biggest change, or is something else now on the horizon? Perhaps this dovetails into what we were just talking about.
I think it's related to that. I think maybe the bigger issue is I mean, I'm seeing, and you're probably seeing, an influx of specialized talent that's coming into the marketing roles from outside the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So very, you know, niche role players, especially on the technology side and on the digital side, where I do see a lot of outsourcing happening now, because I just think it's so hard to stay on top of these things. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
I see a lot of outsourcing to digital agencies. There are a lot of firms, though, that are trying to build internal, almost essentially digital agencies, by
mm-hmm.
hiring folks from outside the profession to come in and to help, you know, take the firm to the next level. But, yeah, that specialization, certainly the big firms and the national firms have always had that specialization. But I see now even the mid-sized firms and some of the smaller firms are starting to specialize their marketing roles. It used to be where we were jacks of all trades, but I'm seeing some of these smaller and mid-sized firms hire these specialty players, these role players.
Right. With the career and compensation survey, the marketing specialist role, the number one was related to social media, which is not any surprise to us, right, because of
right.
just the predominance of and the necessity for social media. So that's an interesting observation, because they are, as marketing directors are building teams, they are looking towards, you know, what do they need to accomplish and what type of skill sets do they need on their team to be able to do that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, Eric, tell me what your prediction is for accounting marketing for the next 5 years.
For the next 5 years? Oh, I definitely think it's going to be marketers playing a key role in helping their firms transform to be better prepared for that disruption that's occurring. And I think we're uniquely positioned to do that because of our broad reach within firms. I mean, we're involved with not only marketing and selling services, but developing new service lines. We're involved with, you know, pricing, and we're involved with distribution channels and geographic marketing, and also, of course, you know, just finding new ways to promote the firm through regular growth strategy. So we're already broadly involved in the firm, and that's why I think that we're well suited to help transform our
mm-hmm.
firms, because we can see the impact in all of those areas that I just mentioned. We have influence over those areas. And I have seen that. I've seen a lot of marketing leaders and peers of mine who are stepping up in leadership roles to help their firms prep for the future, and especially for disruption. A lot of the marketers I see at conferences are attending things like the Engage conference or Digital CPA, they're in the room and they're participating in these discussions about disruption
mm-hmm.
and what's occurring, and then they're bringing it back to their firms and they're facilitating conversations and influencing executive leaders and motivating people to change. So I think that's going to continue.
Right. And that's exciting, you know, for marketers, because we've seen, you know, some colleagues shift from marketing to client experience. So here what, you know, you're referring to, it could be a new role within their firms.
Yeah, I think so. And when I look at the skill sets that accounting marketers need to be successful, I think about that, you know, that we need to be ambassadors for our clients. You know, we're that voice within the firm that needs to really represent the client and what their needs are. So I think that's an important point that you brought up about mm-hmm. client experience.
Right. And it's also, I think, because marketers work with everybody within a firm. So even if they're a department of one, you know, or two, they are reaching out to everybody. So it's not like they're in their, you know, tax group and these are the six people that they work with all the time. You know, marketers are out there really getting to know their people and what the firm is capable of doing, and they're building those relationships.
Yeah, we should really be the silo busters, you know, because like you said, we do have access to all these different areas of the firm and different departments and operational and client service facing folks. And a lot of times we're the, we're the glue that kind of holds everything together because we're involved in all these discussions on so many levels.
Right, right, absolutely. So tell us which of your personal skills you feel has contributed most to your success. You know, you talked to us earlier about your intuition and just, you know, sometimes you just have a gut feeling of what might be successful or what might not be successful.
Yeah, I still believe in the intuition thing, and it's always been something that I've relied on. I have a gut sense of what's going to work and what won't. So I still am guided by that, but I also think something else I might add to this would be having a mindfulness of or an empathy with people within the firm. You know, your ability to listen and understand their perspective, I think, is super important. You know, not to have that tin ear, but to really understand what's motivating people, what their fears are, and working within that context to make people successful. I think that's super important to being, to having a career that's going to be successful and one that you can have a path on. You know, it's just your ability to really relate to folks internally has always been important. The ability to build trust in relationships is another one. And maybe the last thing would be the ability to influence and sell ideas, I always think is an important thing.
Right. So that ability to sell ideas, do you think that that's one way that marketers can gain more power in their firms?
I do. And ideas just can't really happen. They shouldn't happen necessarily in a vacuum. And I think the best way, the most effective way to sell your ideas is to tie them back to some overarching goal or objective that's been laid out in your firm strategy or your strategic plan. So you always sell ideas from the top down, and you get people to validate, you know, the highest level concepts first, and then you work your way down so that when you do sell ideas, you can point out the alignment of those ideas with what everybody's already agreed upon, the firm strategic plan, a particular goal or objective. And, you know, when you sell that idea, you say, this aligns with that. This is going to help us contribute towards accomplishing that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it hard for folks to disagree with that.
Right. That's right.
You know?
If the overall goal has already been agreed upon, you're right, you know, because that's been done, you know, and you're moving forward.
Yeah, so it should be top down, and it shouldn't be bottom up where you just come up with a tactic or an idea, and people are. You ever been in those conversations? You just get an idea, you talk in circles, and then inevitably somebody says, "Well, what are we trying to accomplish?" You know. So that's why I like that top down approach.
Right, I think the bottom up happens more often in firms that aren't operating from a strategic plan or that don't have a marketing plan with those agreed-upon goals. And, of course, that puts those marketers in that much more of a challenging situation because they don't have that overarching guidance. You know, they're operating of, hey, here's my idea for the quarter, and let's execute without giving thought to the bigger picture.
I always relate that to, you know, the United States has a constitution, and generally we try to follow the principles of the constitution, and we have court cases that follow the constitution, and it's similar within a firm is that, you know, the constitution is the firm strategic plan, the purpose, the mission, the vision, and the values, and when you present ideas, they should align with those things and affirm those tenets of your firm.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And so it's not, if you don't have that stuff in place, then what ends up happening is you have almost a disagreement on personality disagreements, you know. And this way you remove all the personal stuff and you say, well, this is not in line with where we're headed, or this is in line with where we're headed. It just makes it easier to make decisions.
Right, absolutely. So your best piece of advice for accounting marketers in 2015 was building relationships one-on-one within the firm. And, of course, I imagine that still remains very important.
It certainly is. I think that's a given. I'd like to add on that now, and I would have to say I think it's important for marketers to define and influence the narrative that's happening within their firms. That's number one. Number two, I would say claim your domain. And what I mean by that is marketing is much more than just promoting your firm and generating leads, and that, while that's important, it's much more. And you know, there are, you know, I guess traditionally, if you remember back to your marketing classes, there are four P's in marketing. There's product and service development, and there's pricing, and there's place, which is really related to distribution channels and geography, and then there's promotion. I think most marketers are comfortable and stay within that fourth P of marketing, which is promotion, and most firms define marketing as just promotion, and in reality, it's much more. So when I say claim your domain, I say educate the partners at your firm as to the full reach of marketing and what marketing impacts at a firm, and then claim your domain, claim involvement in those other areas. And I think that'll get you a seat at the table. If you're actively involved in developing and conceptualizing a new product or service line, if you're actively involved in changing your firm's pricing model, if you're actively involved in your firm's M&A, or distribution channels, you know, how are you going to market to clients? How are you going to serve them? Are you using the cloud? Are you doing it with digital? Then you kind of spread your tentacles, you spread your influence. And so I think that takes a while to do.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly if you're interested in that career path and having more options in your career, I would offer that advice. And then lastly, I would say, you know, question the norms. I think so many firms just operate with, you know, the way things have always been or the same metrics, and look around and question those things and ask, why are we doing that? And those voices are needed within firms, and I don't think there are enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so questioning the norms, I think, is also important.
Right. I think that's all great advice, and I think it dovetails back to what you said earlier about marketers not waiting for an invitation, you know, within their firms, you know, to find those opportunities to contribute either more or at a different level and be part of those conversations.
In my experience in having done this throughout my career, and your partners are relieved when they see people stepping up and asking for more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of pressure off them. They want people to step up. It
right.
gives them confidence in the future leadership, and it's just better for the firm.
Right. I think that's such an excellent point that we just don't think about it that way, but it's absolutely true. And it also shows the person's initiative. They want to take these things on, and they're showing, you know, they're being proactive, if you will, in their roles.
Yeah, it gives you it's just a good feeling to see people stepping up and taking on big, you know, either tackling big ideas or concepts or offering to own, you know, an initiative or a project. I just think that's key, and more of that is needed because the industry is changing so fast, and we don't have the ability to sit back and let things kind of happen. Otherwise, you know, decisions are made for you, as opposed to influencing a direction or a decision that the firm wants to.
Right.
What I mean?
You're absolutely right. So then let's end with your best piece of advice for managing partners. And you had talked about inspiring through leadership, and we've touched upon, you know, the importance of leadership today. What's your best piece of advice for managing partners now?
I think that a lot of it is just keeping the firm and staff focused on what clients care about. I think a lot of firms are internally focused and not externally focused. And so really putting in changing the mindset, it's really a mindset change, and putting yourselves in the shoes of the client. What do they value? What do they care about? And I don't think you can go wrong with that kind of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I also think, and this is, I guess, maybe a pretty traditional thing and goes without saying, but always articulating the mission and the vision of the firm and where the firm is headed, so that everybody, no matter, you know, who you're talking to, whether it's, you know, the receptionist at the front desk or the staff accountant or the senior manager, that everybody knows where the firm is headed and what we're working toward. I think that's super important.
Right, right. And that certainly is leadership, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting
so,
everybody on the same page, right, and
right.
Headed in the same direction.
Absolutely.
Well, we've been talking today with Eric Myshak, shareholder and chief strategy officer for Beach Fleischmann and one of the 2018 inductees into the AIM Hall of Fame. Eric, thanks for your time today. It's always fascinating to have these conversations with you.
Thanks, Jean. I love chatting with you about this stuff. And every time I see you at conferences, you know, we talk about this stuff, and I always enjoy our conversations. Thank you.
You're very welcome.